Welcome to the Customer Service Gold Dust Podcast. This is the UK's only podcast where customer experience professionals share their journey, insights, challenges, and current focus in an ever-changing customer service landscape. My name is Gavin Scott, and I invite you to join us as we delve into another great conversation. Whether you want to increase customer satisfaction or decrease customer complaints, there's sure to be plenty of gold dust that will help you to stand out. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Customer Service Gold Dust Podcast. And I'm your host, Gavin Scott. Now, in this week's episode, I'm joined by Rob Moon. Now, Rob has his own training company where he delivers customer service and sales training both online and in person. And I know that Rob is passionate about helping people to create exceptional customer experiences. And so I was delighted when he agreed to come on to the show today. So, Rob, welcome to the Customer Service Goalers Podcast. Great to have you.
Hello, Gavin. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite. Much appreciated.
You're more than welcome. Now, I know that you deliver both sales and customer service training, Rob. But before we talk about that in a bit more detail, tell me some more about your background.
I spent most of my corporate life at a little company called Yell, who do Yellow Pages, Yell.com and all of that. I saw an advert in the Birmingham Evening Mail one night. They were having an open evening because they were recruiting for telesales staff. So I went along to the open evening and got myself an interview. And the rest was history. And I ended up staying there 21 years. And I spent 8 years in telesales and then 13 years in their L&D team, delivering sales training, management and leadership, and of course, customer service training. So that's the bulk of my corporate background. And I left there just over 7 years ago to go it alone and start my own training company. And now I see my own clients directly delivering, like you say, sales, customer service, management, leadership stuff, and also do some associate work for other training companies. And that kind of keeps me in the loop and keeps me connected with the L&D world as well.
Great. And it sounds like you've got a pretty similar background to myself, Rob, because I joined BT Mobile back in 1998 as a customer service advisor, as a temporary agent with a company called Kelly's.
And I moved. I remember Kelly's. Yeah.
Remember Kelly's? Yes.
Yeah.
I think I was on about £4.70 an hour or something like that. I managed to twist a few people's arms and get myself up to a decent position at that business, which then became O2. But then I also moved from the operation into the L&D team and finished my part of my career delivering events on leadership and customer service. So there's a bit of common ground in terms of
synergy there, isn't there?
Yeah. The approach that we took. And so what were some of the key things that you learned during your time in L&D? Let's say your last 13 years were in L&D. And so what were some of the key things that you took away from your time there with Yell that has helped shape some of the stuff that you do today?
The key thing for me was just listening to customers and observing the fact that there needs to be more of a one team mentality across the organization between sales and service. And certainly since leaving Yell and lots of the organizations that I've been into, instead of this one team mentality, there's more of a blame culture going on between sales and service. It's not our fault in service, it was sales' fault. And it's not our fault in sales, it was service. And things like that going on. So for me, it's that connection between sales and service. They really do need to fit hand in glove, as it were. I think more laterally as well, Gavin, there's also the marketing teams in organizations have got stronger and stronger over the last 5 to 10 years as well. And they need bringing into the loop. So marketing, sales and service, that triangle really needs to work really in sync and all be on the same page, because obviously marketing are doing things, i.e. that they're putting out promotions, they're sending out marketing emails, sales are going in on the back of the leads that creates, selling stuff, and then customers are ringing into customer service with queries, problems, issues. And lots of customer service teams these days don't know what the sales team are doing and they don't know what marketing are doing. So when customers ring in, services say, I'll have to come back to you on that. And it doesn't make for a great experience for the customer.
No, absolutely. And so when faced with that challenge where potentially you do have maybe a bit of a blame culture between sales and marketing and customer service, what are some of the things that you do that help these departments to collaborate more effectively? How do you go about addressing that and helping them to recognize the need to work closely and in sync with each other?
Do you know what, Gavin? I've actually played back some customer service calls to sales teams, and I've played back sales calls to customer service, and that's when pennies drop, I think, because they actually see in the cold light of day exactly what's going on and the kinds of issues that are coming out of customers' mouths. Because for me, the whole customer experience is about all of the different touch points you have with an organization. And if there's one thing that you don't want your customers to feel, it's this thing about, well, left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And you hear that so often. And I think once sales managers, sales directors, customer service managers, customer experience leaders appreciate what's coming out of customers' mouths, they think we need to work closely on this. We need to get back in sync instead of just blaming each other for what's going wrong.
Yeah, it's a great shout. And just on another point there, when it comes to some of the calls that do get recorded, just in your experience, Rob, do you think that organizations spend enough time listening to those calls and really getting under the skin of some of the challenges and issues that customers are being faced with? Or do you think more can be done in that space?
I think a lot more can be done in that area, Gavin, to be fair. It should be a really valuable tool for team leaders and managers as far as coaching is concerned. And I've been in organizations that do it well and seen the benefits and the motivation it gives to the frontline customer service execs. And I've also been in organizations where listening to calls is used as a bit of a stick, and it's used to police KPIs and stuff like that, rather than for genuine coaching. And I think that coaching space is something that's overlooked when it comes to team leaders. Because I think lots of organizations kind of have this tendency to promote the best salespeople or promote the best customer service people into team leader and manager roles. And then they fail to give them those people skills that you need as a team leader and manager.
And then just thinking about that, often I hear team leaders say, do you know what, Gav, I just haven't got time. I haven't got time to do coaching. There's other things I need to focus my attention on. And so when people say that to you, Rob, how do you respond to those obstacles or barriers or challenges that people say when they say, I've just got a lack of time when it comes to coaching, Gav? What's your response to that?
I always start my reply with the same sentence, Gavin. You can't afford not to.
I like the fact that you put in a dramatic pause there as well, Rob. You know, I wasn't salivating, but I was thinking, okay, what's it going to be? I always start with the same sentence, Gav. And then there was a dramatic pause. And I was like almost nearly there saying, what is it, Rob? What is it? Yeah, so just say it again then for us, Rob.
You can't afford not to. At the end of the day, if you don't take the time to coach your people well and appropriately, then you will spend so much more time having more calls passed from execs to managers, escalations, all of that kind of stuff going on in call centers. And that can be drastically reduced by the quality of the exec, the confidence of the exec. And that all comes from the quality of coaching that they receive. Full stop.
And thinking about you've worked with lots of organizations yourself, Rob. So can you think about organizations, without naming names, but in terms of organizations that are getting this right? What's the approach that they're taking when it comes to the amount of time that gets allocated on coaching?
Yeah, I think there are some organizations I've been in where the first line managers are given autonomy to use their time well with their people. And there's almost this mentality within them that says, if I'm doing a task that's not designed to improve the customer's experience, should I really be doing it at all? And they do a stop project. They actually stop doing stuff that doesn't help the customer experience. And from a first line manager perspective, for me, that's spending time with your people and making sure the quality of those interactions is always going upwards.
It's a good call, and I'm sure that's going to work. But what happens when the operation you are looking at calls in the queue and things like that? So typically, things like one-to-ones and coaching conversations, that they're the first to get parked and put to one side.
Yeah.
How do you get them to recognize the absolute importance of sticking with some of these things when, you know, customers are waiting in the queue to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I think it's almost a chicken and egg, isn't it, situation. I haven't got time to take people off the phone to go and train them and coach them. And there's people who are waiting in the queue and everything, like you say. But at the end of the day, if you want to reduce those queues, the only way to do that is make the people who take the calls more effective. And you can only do that by giving them the time to coach them. But that coaching can be done live. It can be done live. You haven't got to have a training room set up and take them away and off the floor. And yes, there's room for that. But live in the moment coaching, I don't see enough first line managers, team leaders just pull their chair up alongside their exec and just plug in and listen for an hour or two and coach live in the moment.
And thinking about that whole in the moment coaching, and you've mentioned there about, you know, just pulling up a chair and just sitting with someone for a period of time. But what other coaching skills do team leaders need to have, or what other things can they do when it comes to that in the moment coaching? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually, that in the moment coaching. And for me, one of the skills is catching people doing things right. Because coaching and training doesn't always have to be about filling a gap and making that better. It can be just boosting their mindset by catching them doing something right. You can walk past someone's desk and hear something wonderful come out of someone's mouth. Turn back, catch their eye, put your thumb up. That's so motivational and such a confidence boost for that person. But what tends to be the case is, I'll only flag something if I hear something going wrong, and then I'll refer to it, because I think people need to know just as much about what they're doing well so they can keep doing that and give their mindset and confidence a boost at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's massively important to make sure that you spend time reinforcing the good behaviours, because people will naturally show up with more of the same once they recognize and realize that's having a positive effect on the customer experience. So catching people doing good things, absolutely. That's certainly something that I would agree with. And anything else in terms of what they can do with this in-the-moment coaching activity?
I often get team leaders and that to do what I call three-part role plays. So you hear a call live in the moment, you're both there. Obviously, the exec is dealing with the customer live, the team leader's listening in. And then just for the short time after that call, you coach that exec. And the live call is the first part of the role play. And then you have a discussion about the call. And then the team leader, because they're an expert as well, says, let's swap roles. You be the customer that you've just had. I'll be you and see how I deal with that situation. And then they role play that, and then they swap roles again so the team leader can listen to the exec do the third part of the role play, which is them virtually copying what the team leader did and feeling the difference compared to what they did on the live call.
Yeah, and I can certainly see how that would work yourself, Rob, as a professional trainer, that some people can be a little bit anxious about doing things like role play. And so how do you get them to overcome that?
I think it's this thing about taking it out of the workspace for now and thinking your favourite football team doesn't just rack up on a Saturday afternoon and everything clicks and for 90 minutes and then they go home all week, and then the next time they play football is next Saturday. There's a whole series of enacting situations out on the training field, role-playing what it's like if we have a player sent off, for example. Role-playing if the other team have a player sent off. How do we approach that? Let's practice that. Let's do it again. So that when the real moment comes on a Saturday, they're good to go. And this is the thing with salespeople and customer service people. They don't practice.
I mean, it's funny that you mention football and refereeing, Rob, because I'm not sure if you're aware of my background, but I'm also a referee. And
okay.
One of the things that I do is I almost visualize situations or incidents that I may be confronted with on the field of play and almost play them out in my head. You know, what would happen if what would I do if this happened? Or when I show a yellow card, what will happen? What would I do in this situation? So you try to visualize what happens so that if that did happen, it's not the first time. So therefore, you're a bit more prepared for those situations, and therefore you can deal with it and provide a better outcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just thinking about what you said before about the importance of that practice and that role play, it reminded me of a great quote that I came across from Tony Robbins. And I think he said something like, people are rewarded in public for what they practice for years in private. Yeah, I guess that's absolutely what we're talking about here, aren't we, Rob?
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it whatsoever. No doubt about it at all. Because I think for me, one of my favorite words is intention. And it's when that phone goes or I get that beep in my ear, what's my intention? And lots of customer execs aren't coached in this way to think, I've got a structure. So I've got a support mechanism. Every call I take, I've got an intention of what I want to do. And the one that I coach is this welcome, find out, fix it, finish it structure. And now I've got an intention to take on the phone with me. I'm going to welcome my customer. I'm going to find out what their issues are. I'm going to fix it. And then I'm going to finish it. And that means close the call nicely and all that kind of thing. So I've got an intention before I go on. And that, in a way, helps me be less reactive on the call. Because customers may well come on quite passionate, frustrated, angry, however, whatever emotion you care to choose. But I know I've got a methodology in place and a structure in place that can diffuse that, take the heat out, and then talk about the issue. And I can do that by using that welcome, find out, fix it, finish it process.
Yeah, this is it. I think it's important to have that clear process, because if you follow the process, then more often than not, the result will take care of itself. And it certainly sounds like the process of welcome, find out, fix it, finish it, is one that's tried and tested and it's going to work.
Absolutely.
Just going back to in the moment coaching, I'm sure many of the listeners are thinking, what approach can I take for some of my guys and girls who may still be working remotely? You know, how do I do in the moment coaching with them, Rob? What are your thoughts on that?
That's always been a little bit more difficult. And I think for me, this is where the technology comes in around recording calls. I certainly use a piece of recording technology with my clients, and I can sit at home and just watch calls drop into their folder on my screen, calls that happened literally 5 minutes ago, and I can go and listen to them. So within half an hour of that call taking place, I can pop them a message either to say, congratulations on a great call. I've just heard your call with Mr. Smith from Kent or whatever, and here's what I loved about it. Or I can drop them a video message even to say, congratulations, well done. Or here's a few hints and tips on how to deal with that differently. So I can either arrange a Zoom meeting with them to do some coaching about calls I've just heard, or even, like I say, send them a video message there and then that in between calls that they can just jump on and watch me delivering a video message with a few hints and tips.
Okay, great. Forgive me, Ed, is that system something that's widely available, or is that specific to an organisation?
There are a number of training organisations that use the system. If I'm allowed to mention the name of it, I will. It's called Refract, and I certainly use it for my clients, and I can sit here and do half a day's worth of coaching on calls that are happening this morning. So it's relevant, it's got context, it's here and there. It's certainly a wonderful piece of kit.
Wow, yeah, sounds good. So that's called Refract, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it measures, for example, things like the percentage of time the customer is talking, the percentage of time the exec is talking. It measures how many questions the exec asks. It can measure all sorts of things. And if there's particular words or statements that you
want your consultant to use, you can manually input those into the system and it will voice recognize those words and tell you how many times that's been used on a particular call. So wow. You can measure certain KPIs that way as well.
Sounds like a great piece of kit, right?
Mm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Fabulous.
Good. And then just moving on then a little bit then, Rob, you'll know that I myself occasionally did a face-to-face events and virtual events as well on customer service.
Yeah.
And one of the things that seems to have been coming up recently in some of the conversations that I've had with clients is that customers, you know, are less patient and more demanding in terms of what they expect from businesses today. And these can result in more challenging conversations. And yeah. So what advice do you provide your clients with when it comes to being able to deal with some of these challenging conversations? What skills do you talk about in that space?
For me, it's all about this level of emotional intelligence with people, because I talk about something called the emotional seesaw, if you like. Right. And if you picture a seesaw, usually one end of the seesaw is very high and the other one is very low. So when a customer rings in, being very passionate, excited, full of emotion, no matter how logical my response and solution, if I deliver that too soon, it's not going to resonate with that customer because the emotional side of their brain is on fire. So if you imagine the seesaw, the seat of the seesaw that's in the air is emotional side of his brain. So that's on fire when that customer rings in because they're full of emotion. So what I have to do is reduce the emotion and diffuse that and have a conversation that takes the heat out. So if you imagine I'm going to reduce that side of the seesaw down to the ground, what happens to the other side of the seesaw?
It's going to lift up.
Yeah. So this is his ability to think logically. So once I've diffused the situation and engaged the logical side of the brain, now he's ready to hear a logical solution and I've not delivered it too soon. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. So what are some of the things that you do then to put those fires out or at least spray a bit of water on them?
Yeah. And for me, it's going back to this structure of welcome, find out, fix it, finish it. First of all, obviously, if a customer is coming in highly agitated, we let them vent. We don't interrupt them. We give them their space to air their views. And then we just put a simple agenda in place that says, okay, Mr. Customer, what I'd like to do today is totally own the situation for you. I'd like to answer you a few questions to find out when all this started and how it got to this level. And then we'll look at a few solutions that we can put in place for you that will sort this out very quickly and easily for you. And have a conversation and start asking some questions. And each question is moving further and further away from his emotional state, if you like, because he's having to think about answers to your questions. And having that conversation that goes back through the history of the issue slowly and methodically tends to, more often than not, take the heat out. And also, the more information we're gathering, the more suitable solution that we can put in place for that customer as well, once his logical brain has kicked in and the heat's reduced.
Okay, good. It's a good share. I like the whole approach about the seesaw, and that helps you to visualize it, doesn't it? And thinking about how you can get the balance and start reducing that high side of the seesaw by asking some questions and providing a bit of a structure. That in itself is going to help to remove some of the emotion, right? And make it the conversation easier, I'm guessing, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, every time a customer calls into a service center or any customer service department, they've obviously got an issue that they want sorting out. And as far as the exec goes, I think they really need to be clear that there's two things going on here. I've got an issue to sort out, but I've also got a human being to look after. And sometimes the actual issue can be quite simple and straightforward, and the customer's making a lot more out of it and being very emotional. So my attention needs to be more on looking after the human. And then on other occasions, the actual issue that I need to solve is very complex. And
there might not be as much emotion there. So I have to be aware of what ratio am I giving my attention to regarding the solution or the human being. And that's where that lots of listening has to come in.
Great. Nice little share there. I'm sure that's going to be a useful listen to the viewers listening in. Thanks for sharing that. And just one final piece then, just thinking about some of the stuff that you do, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the leaders of the frontline customer service advisors and the role that they play. You know, you've talked about the importance of in-the-moment coaching, and that's going to help to embed and sustain some of the learning that you share in the events that you do. But what else can team leaders do to help to make sure that companies that you work with get like a full return on their investment in you?
I think it's down to the leaders to do a number of things. First of all, the actual culture of the organization, even the culture of the team needs to be right. We all trust each other. We all support each other. We all help each other. And I think it's down to the team leader to create that great culture within the team as well. So that even if it's not me doing coaching, why can't one of my senior executives help and support a new starter? It doesn't always have to be down to me. And that can be a great way to develop their career if they want to look at being a team leader in the future and all that kind of thing. And I think at the end of the day, a customer's experience is down to what are my customer's expectations versus how well do we execute against those expectations. And if we execute in line with or above our customers' expectations, that will always give them a great experience. And I think it's down to team leaders to make sure that the whole execution throughout those calls that we get in is second to none.
Great. So there's definitely something there about the culture the team leader creates, the importance of building a level of trust across the team, and maybe encouraging some peer-to-peer coaching as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Help to develop other people and also future-proof the business by building good bench strength for those individuals to maybe look at a team leader role themselves in the future, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, spot on.
Okay, great. Well, listen, let's finish off then. So what would be some of the gold dust? What are your top tips when it comes to creating exceptional customer experiences? Give us a quick summary and playback of what are the key things that you believe organizations need to focus their attention on today, Rob?
Having walked away from an organization from a customer service perspective, I asked myself a couple of questions about them. Did they have to do that? And was I expecting that? And if I get two no's to those questions, then I've had world-class service. Because there's been times when I walk away from a business thinking, wow, they didn't have to do that, but they did. And I wasn't expecting that. And that for me is how I want to feel when I walk away from an organization. I might not remember everything they've said, but I'll remember how they made me feel. And I think for me, understanding how I want my customer to feel once they put the phone down or walk out of my shop or office or whatever, how do I want that customer to feel? Once I've got that under my belt, I can start thinking about how we can go about making that happen more often.
Great. So those two questions, I think, did they have to do that? And what was that expected?
Yeah. Because I go into certain stores and it's a joy to take something back, which sounds weird, really, because sometimes I'll have a buying experience and they really look after me and make sure I've got the right things, and I'm going to give them a 10 out of 10. And then I might get home, and after a period of time, that product might break down or stop working, which takes my experience down to a 7. But then I go back to the store and take that product back, and it's how I'm looked after at that point that decides whether my final score is back up to a 10 or is it down to a 4?
Yeah, absolutely. And so how people respond to those sort of situations is going to create either a good, positive, lasting impression of the brand or not, as the case may be, if they don't respond in the right way, yes?
Absolutely. And there are certainly times when I've gone into stores and started to explain my situation about a product that's broken. They go, don't worry, we'll change it. It's fine. And I thought, wow. Did they have to do that? No. Was I expecting that? No. Two no's. World-class service. Brilliant.
Great. Good stuff. And so how can our listeners get in touch with you then? What's the best way to get hold of you?
Certainly the website is simply robmoontraining.co.uk, and they can get me on email at rob@robmoontraining.co.uk.
Excellent stuff. And you're on LinkedIn as well, yes?
I am indeed, yes. Rob Moon on LinkedIn, yes. Yeah.
Are there many Rob Moons, or are you just the one?
No, I've tested it a few times, and there are a number of Rob Moons. I tend to come at the top. There's a little head and shoulders shot of me, and it's very obvious which one the Rob Moon training one is on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, well, listen, Rob, it's been great to talk, and thanks for some of the insights that you shared there. I'm sure there's been some great takeaways for the listeners. So, listen, great to speak to you. Look after yourself, and I'll speak to you soon.
You too, Gavin. Thanks ever so much. Take care. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Customer Service Gold Dust podcast. I'm sure that there were plenty of ideas you can take away and apply to your business today. Three things to do now. Subscribe to the podcast so that you can benefit from every episode. I'd also love to see a little review as well. This helps to spread the word and the gold dust, of course. Head over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Finding Gold Dust: How to Create Exceptional Customer Experiences. The book is endorsed by a former executive vice president of Walt Disney Resort. And finally, visit my website at www.gavinscott.me and sign up for some more free content. Until next time, stay memorable.